Blog Talk Radio. ForRadio.com.
Join me, Rebecca Christensen-Mapson, in real time for real topics on Real Talk with Rebecca on ForRadio.com.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
American Hat Company is known throughout the world as the hat preferred by rodeo champions, ranchers, everyday cowboys, cowgirls, and rodeo fans. From the arena to the boardroom, no one does it better. Handmade in Bowie, Texas, American hats are made with tradition in the old-fashioned way. From the finest in felts to the best in straws, there is an American hat for every occasion. The CB Cowgirls are proud to have our ambassadors wearing the number one hat in the world. Thank you, American Hat. Find your own American hat at your favorite retailer. American Hats, handcrafted since 1950.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
This is For Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams.
Welcome to the show, where it's not too complex to see PTSD, because we are heard. Hello, I'm your host, Renee Hamlet, your Miss Washington Ambassador for PTSD, and I'd like to introduce you to our co-host, Marie Waldrop, your Miss U.S. Ambassador for PTSD. Marie, are you there?
I am. How are you?
I am doing good. It's pretty warm up here in Washington today, so not really used to it. We've been having a lot of rain this summer, so, but it's nice. It's nice to actually see some sun.
Yes, it's always nice to see the sun.
Yeah. Well, today we want to talk more about the symptoms of complex PTSD and how the symptoms affect us. We went over a little bit of that on our first show, but because there's so many symptoms and there's so much to the symptoms, I feel like it would be a good time to go back, kind of talk about them more in depth. And I was thinking about maybe having Marie and I share some of our experiences with it too, because I know that a lot of the symptoms have affected my life. And at the time, I had no idea that it was due to the complex PTSD. I had no idea that was the symptoms of it. And when I found out that was, you know, the symptoms, it helped a lot for me to control them. And these symptoms, a lot of people aren't aware are even part of complex PTSD. Going through therapy, you know, in this last year that I've been going through it, you know, I'd be 6 months into therapy and I'd tell her about something that I experienced and she'd be like, oh, that's just another symptom. So even though you might not be experiencing a symptom for about a year or so, they're still there. They can creep their ugly little head at any point in time. So it's good to know as much as you can about it so you can help yourself when those symptoms arise. So as you know, with CPTSD, they have pretty much all the symptoms of PTSD, which is nightmares, unwanted memories of the trauma, avoidance of the situation or like memories of the trauma, heightened reactions, you know, like being startled too easily more than like you should be, anxiety, and of course, depressed mood. So one of the symptoms that I feel affected me the most, I want to start with, and there's so much that goes into this one, is emotion regulation. And with that, I mean that people who have complex PTSD have a hard time with their emotions in a sense of experiencing them and controlling them. Like you may have persistent sadness when there's no reason other than your trauma to have it. Like you wake up and you're just sad and nothing recent has happened. Or you might have explosive anger to situations that you shouldn't get angry about. And in times, you might not be able to get angry at a situation where you should get angry. Of course, you'll have, you know, suicidal thoughts, the chronic numbness. And one of the ones that was, like, big for me was the lack of appropriate emotions during a certain circumstance. Sometimes I would react to a situation, the situation I'm in, but I would react like it was my trauma situation. So I wasn't reacting to the situation correctly. And sometimes I didn't notice that. Sometimes I did. And sometimes like I knew something wasn't right, but I didn't know what was going on. It is like common for survivors to re-experience emotions from the trauma, mostly when triggered. And with triggered, we talked about that last time. It's when something reminds you of the trauma that you've had, and it might be anything from somebody's smile, might remind you of your abuser, or a smell, a taste, a scenery, or a location. Like, for example, going to a city where your trauma happened or where your abuser would hang out. That will send me into an emotional flashback where I will feel like I did during the trauma. You know what I'm talking about, Marie? Like, have you ever had one of those where just like you're having a great day and then out of nowhere you're just thrown back into the trauma that you experienced and you're not quite sure what hit you and like why you're feeling that way?
Yes, I've had several of those types of moments.
Yeah, I think
some of them were like the cologne, you know.
Yeah, cologne is big.
And then I think another one was like just somebody saying like their name, but they could have been talking about somebody else, you know.
Yeah. I still somewhat have that incident where I won't use a name, but let's just call my abuser's name Bottle. People would start talking about somebody else named Bottle, and as soon as I heard that name, I would check out of what they were saying and start thinking about the abuser and things that happened. And by the end of them talking, I had no idea what they were talking about, and that's still something I'm trying to work on. But yeah, like you said, like the cologne. Certain smells, even though I'm not quite sure why a certain smell, like it didn't smell like him, or I don't think I was around him that smelled like that. It's strange how something so small can impact us so big.
I know, it's really crazy. And I mean, sometimes like a sound, like, you know, like sometimes for me, and I don't really know why, as far as this goes, sometimes I can hear kids laughing.
Uh-huh.
And that just throws me into a kind of a trigger, but I'm like, that is weird, because it's not all the time, it's just certain times.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, is that sound, is there a reason why that sound like triggers you, or is that just what your mind has done?
I think that might be something that my mind has done. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I haven't even really talked to a therapist or anything about that particular thing per se.
Yeah. One of my weird experiences, and sorry if you hear a train in the background, I live close to a train station. Is I was at the grocery store, and my abuser, he drank a lot, and he was in construction, and I saw a guy who was dressed as his construction worker, and he was in the store, and he was standing there with his back turned to me looking at beer. And I was having a perfectly okay day, wasn't thinking about him, nothing else happened, and I walked past him, and I saw him, and at the time, I didn't know why I was feeling this way, but I went into complete panic, and I became irritated, and I remember my dad was with me, and I was just like, I want to get out of here. And he's like, why, what's wrong? And I was like, I don't know. I just want to get out of here. And I talked to my therapist about that because, you know, I just told her how I felt in the store. And then she asked what had happened before. And then that's when I kind of realized, oh, well, I saw this guy that, you know, was tall like him, wearing construction outfit. And that's what triggered me. So like now that I'm aware of that and I see like construction workers, I have a better grasp of trying to center myself and realize it's not him. I'm not in that time. And it really helps knowing like certain things. But to this day, I will have the most random things I've never experienced before, like a certain smell, like, oh, okay, so that's new. I'm just going to add that to my list.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes it seems like those lists start growing longer and longer.
Yeah, I think it like might be just because we've become more aware of it. Because, like, I've been in relationships since then, and, you know, I've only dated good guys since, thankfully. But they'll say something or they'll do something, and it's nothing bad, but something in the way they said it would trigger me, and I would get upset. And they'd be like, why are you getting upset? There's nothing you should get upset. Because it'd literally be nothing. It could just be, like, how they said, hey, you want to go to the grocery store, or, hey, let's mop the floor up, just anything. And I would get incredibly upset, like almost tearful, and I had no idea why. You know, that's also actually another symptom of DPTSD, which is difficulty with relationships. I was going to say that one for very last, but just kind of rolled into it. But that's kind of a prime example of how relationships are tough for us. We sometimes
actually,
even though we're not. Yes.
Actually, Renee, this is Maria, and I don't think last week I introduced myself. I'm the one behind the green curtain, the producer, and I actually wanted you to go back a little bit because you hit on something, and I wanted to break in at that time. But this is huge for women who have PTSD, may not be aware that that's what they have, and are thrown into corporate America. So I'm going to take you back to being able to control your emotions. It was one of the first symptoms that you said when you first started the show. So go back to then, and I'm trying to remember what you said exactly, but it's our reactions, okay? Our reactions are a little off, okay? And what I remember, and it's just coming into me really heavy right now, is when I was thrown into corporate America, I went into aerospace from having my own salon for 14 years. So talk about a completely different mindset, right? Because at a hair salon, nail salon, everything is all about ooey-gooey, feely, and right? Okay, so if something happens and you start bawling like a baby, it's normal. You're in a salon, right?
Yeah.
However, when you're in corporate America and you've got big people that are from big airlines like Air China and Singapore Airlines, and I remember being in a conference room and something was happening that I wasn't okay with, and instead of being able to be as assertive with myself, I just started crying. Something completely inappropriate to do, not really understanding why. So I want you to explain to me different situations that you've been in like that, where it's just a completely inappropriate response. However, it's very confusing because you don't know why it's happening. So why don't you share a little bit more about that?
Okay, well, you talking about work actually made me think of something. When I was with my abuser, I actually worked for, I have a background in IT, I had a degree in IT security, and I was working for the startup company, which was all men, and they're usually around my age. So I kind of felt like really left out because I was the only girl, and in my mind, I was treated kind of poorly, like I wasn't good enough or smart enough. But the bosses really intimidated me, especially one of them. And I just remember, like, having meetings with him. Well, not with him, but with, like, the whole company. And not being able to check in completely about what was going on because I was so fearful of them. And there's no reason. Well, you know, you get scared of your boss, but this was, like, an obscure fear of them and failing. So I would check out, and after the meeting, like, I would not be able to remember a thing that happened. And at the time, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know why this was happening, but it was just something he would say or do would remind me of my abuser, and I would completely check out, because that's a way to deal with when you're being abused by someone, is just check out, is just keep yourself protected. let's just say, like, I left that job because I didn't know I had complex PTSD at the time, and I didn't know why I was feeling this way when I worked there, but it was just too much to bear. I think I have, like, so many stories, but I'll let Marie say some.
Well, for me, I can't really relate much to that as far as work goes, because I think I pretty much just, I don't know, I kind of had shoved everything, you know what I mean? And so
yeah.
I didn't have any feelings one way or the other, if that makes sense.
It does. I was Dana's great guy after the abusive relationship, and one of the things that happened in my relationship was the guy would tell me I wasn't good enough, like looks-wise or anything else, and that's why he had to look at certain images and videos of other women. So that was like a real sore spot for me. And me and the new boyfriend were sitting there watching a show, and nudity came up. And I remember I just got like, first anxiety started happening. And then I just got like so upset, like angry, crying. And he was like, hey, I'm not the one who made the show. I'm not even paying attention to this part right now. And it was horrible because he didn't do anything, but I was having a reaction to it. And at the time I didn't know really why, you know, it took a while to figure that out. And now something like that happens, like I just brush it off because it's not, you know, nothing to do with the show or with him. It just triggered a memory that I had had and a feeling I had. So when I see these images, it brings me back to the trauma and how I felt back in the trauma. And that's what happens, is it could just be the tiniest of things will suck you back to how you felt during the trauma. And it's usually not how you need to feel in the present moment. And that happened, you know, at work, in relationships, talking to my parents, even being in a store and somebody like bumps into me or walks in front of me, like I would get more angry than I needed to. And sometimes I would even be tearful because I felt like I had done something and I upset this person.
Sorry about that. Are you there?
Yes.
I don't know if we lost Marie. You know, it's a very confusing time. Marie, are you still there?
I am here.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, take it away. I didn't know if I did push the wrong button. Go ahead, I'll be quiet now.
No, you could.
But,
there's a lot of things. Like, for me with movies and different stuff like that, that you know, like you, I could not understand what, you know, why it triggered me so bad, but it would. But then later on, I realized, well, you know, it had to do something with the abusive stuff that I had gone through. And but like what you said, you know, I should have been okay because, you know, I was in a safe place, you know what I mean? But just seeing stuff or hearing stuff, and it just would throw me for a loop.
Yeah, and there's been, like, times where I've gone the complete opposite, where I wouldn't react at all to a situation where I should be reacting. And I'm trying to, like, think of, like, a good example of that. And all I can think about is this one time I was in Seattle, and we're doing a shoot, and these two younger men, like, ran up to me and the guy who I was doing the photo shoot with, and they were very, very panicked. I guess somebody had pulled a knife out on them and, you know, was trying to rob them. And two of them got away, and they don't know what happened to their friend. Usually you'd panic during that time, but the severity of, like, what could be going on didn't hit me. It didn't trigger me till, like, long, long afterwards. Even to this day, I'm just kind of, like, don't have that much emotion to it. So I've noticed, like, usually when it's something negative or something bad, I don't react the way I used to react. I kind of just still have that sense where, okay, it's something bad, I'm used to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Because I think yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I don't like like where you should, other people would be in a panic, so to speak, you know, this just
yeah.
happened or whatever, then you're like really calm and collective and like, okay, you know, and then
yeah.
like it could be maybe a couple of hours later or maybe a day or two later, and then I'm, you know, then that's when I actually have the feelings that I feel like I should have had right then, you know.
Yeah. And I don't know if sometimes that's actually a good thing. Yes, of course.
May I interject a little bit? This is Maria again.
Yeah.
What I've learned, and I'm sure you ladies will both agree, walking through this for as many years as I've walked through it, this is what my little bit of wisdom is. We know how to react to the bad. We know how to handle the bad. It's perfectly normal to us. We're calm.
Yeah.
We're collective. We do what we got to do because we know how to handle the bad. But if someone says, gosh, Maria, you are so great. You are doing such a good job. You look so good. I don't know how to handle the good. The good
yeah.
is when we start to freak out because the bad we've been handling for so long, emotionally, mentally, verbally, physically, financially. We can handle bad, girls. Okay?
Yes, we can.
It's the good.
Definitely.
It's the good that sparks up the emotions in us because we don't know how to handle the good. So accepting the
yeah.
good is such a huge tool when it comes to healing and walking in your healing when it comes to PTSD.
Yeah, do you ever, like, either of you ever have something really good happen to you? Like, somebody did something nice to you, and, you know, unexpected, and you don't react all happy and cheerful about it. You kind of act more suspicious and more sad about it, and then they're like, I don't understand, like, why you're not happy about this. Does that, like, ever happen to anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
It's, you know, it goes back to not knowing how to regulate our emotions, but also it comes from, you know, not being able to trust other people. And like what Maria was
yeah,
saying,
and,
it's just like,
yeah, like what I was going to say is like what Maria said is like, what I do to deserve this good treatment, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's really
like
sad. You know, we're not saying what did we do to deserve the bad that has happened to us because we were totally used to the bad all the time. But
yeah.
then when somebody would do, you know, just give a good gesture or say something nice or even do something good for you. It's hard to really know how to react to it. And, you know, I was always appreciative of it, but I think, like what you said, you know, they look at you like, well, is it not good enough or what? You know, like they were doing something bad, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually, this is, you know, this symptom is with emotion regulation, but it also stems into another one, which is having a harsh outlook on life and a negative view of the world. So when something good happens to us, we don't expect it, and two, we don't know why it's happening to us, because a lot of times we don't feel like something good should be happening to us. We get into that thinking where only bad stuff has happened before, that's the best I deserve, and so when good stuff happens, we're more taken back and like, oh, okay, why is this happening? Okay, this
right.
might be some sort of trick. We just
right.
don't know how to handle it. And that's actually, from some reading that I did, that's actually one of the toughest things to conquer with CPTSD is to get back to being able to think like, okay, not everything's bad. The world, you know, isn't all too evil. And being able to accept good things that do happen to you. And I also feel that, like, sometimes we tend to self-sabotage ourselves when something good is happening because, one, we don't think we deserve it, and two, I think we're afraid of actually being happy and having that taken away from us. So we might as well just like ruin it now before we become too happy. And that's like something huge for me. Like I've done that in relationships, unfortunately. And I think I've also like sabotaged myself in really good jobs because I was fearful of becoming too happy and then having it taken away from me. I'd rather just be miserable. And
self-sabotage, lady, I think self-sabotage, I think it's a whole another episode. Because it is something that you have to, that particular one is a huge one. But to bring up everything that you're talking about right now brings us back to that redefining normal. And really when you're walking through that trigger that causes you to say, I'm not good enough for this, right? Because there's a trigger there and you have to recognize that trigger. You always have to go back to what the truth is. Does God make trash, Marie?
No.
Ah, thank you. Renee, does he make anything but excellence?
He makes only excellence.
Ah, thank you very much. The only perfect thing he created was his son. It's something we can look up to, right? Okay? And that is what we're striving to be, that we are excellent in every way. So when those voices come back, when someone does something nice, and trust me, it's hard to redefine the normal and to accept that good, especially when you have all this going on that you walk through every day, okay? People don't understand walking through PTSD is like walking through machine guns every day. How fun. How fun for us, right? But we get better at dodging the bullets. Why? Because we look at everything and we go back to the truth. God doesn't create trash. Why wouldn't I be good to accept this? Right? It's an amazing experience. But it's something you have to walk through every single day. But ladies, you do get better at it.
Yes, definitely do. So you said something, Maria, about another episode for how we self-sabotage each other. So I kind of actually just thought that maybe since there's so much to each of these symptoms, maybe each episode we'll just kind of dedicate one to a certain system.
Perfect.
Because the emotional regulation part, I mean, I could go on for a very long time about it and there's so much to it. So I kind of don't want to skip out on things and let people know as much as possible. So I guess we're going to kind of focus on that for the rest of the show. But there's one thing.
Give more examples.
Give
more examples because women don't. Here's the one thing, and Marie knows because being the crisis consultant for our organization, you have to understand where women are in their walk. And women don't know what they don't know. So you using your voices and writing your books and telling your stories just gives other women the aha moment that they've been looking for. You know, that aha.
Exactly.
I'm not alone.
Yep. And you start to think of yourself as losing your mind or something because you don't understand any of this. And I've heard many stories from other women before, and I was like, oh, you have that too? Like, that happens to you? Okay, so it's nothing, there's something wrong with me. It's just a normal symptom. And one of those I think a lot of people can relate to is the nightmares and waking up after nightmare of just about anything that's upsetting. I am in a funk for a while. And I think that happens to people that don't even have a complex PTSD. But with complex PTSD, when you have those nightmares, for me at least, when I would wake up, I would be the time of my trauma. I felt like I was waking up and I was living back in that day, and anything that was going to happen that day was going to be how it was when I was back in my trauma, if that makes sense. So that one was a huge, huge problem for me. And I would have nightmares and I would wake up and the people who were around me, I wouldn't mean to, but I would kind of see them as the bad person. And I would become very closed off and very nervous. And I felt like I had to walk on eggshells because I didn't want to get yelled at, even though the people I was with at the time wouldn't do that to me. But it is all back to, like, the emotion of the trauma.
Yeah, and there's so, like you said, there's so much to the emotions that, I mean, sometimes we wanted to hide everything. Other times we wanted to scream, cry, whatever. Just, I don't know, yell at something, you know?
Yeah. And we got to learn to do it at the right times. That's like the
right.
Really tough because this will, you know, cause issues in other parts of your life that are actually good. And it did for me for a really long time. And actually, it was because I was realizing I was ruining something good that made me start to go to therapy. And then that's when I was diagnosed. And since then, just learning about it, like every little thing that you learn about makes it so much easier. And it is something that you can overcome. I felt hopeless before I knew exactly what was going on. I felt hopeless. I just was a very negative person. I knew I was upset and angry, but why I was upset and angry with somebody who had nothing to do with my trauma was beyond me. So I kind of thought that, like, maybe it was like my gut told me that this person was bad too, which it wasn't the case at all. And that's another thing with complex PTSD is you gauge people kind of off, compared to what you might have if it wasn't for that trauma. And that can, like, lead you back into other bad situations because you're so used to being treated badly that you'll go into other relationships that remind you of your trauma relationship. And because that's what's familiar, that's what you think you deserve.
It's really hard to break away from that which is normal. So we always go
yes.
back to that which is normal until we can
mm-hmm.
redefine, right? Until we can redefine
yes.
what normal is.
Exactly.
And then there's really, I mean, you know, like what is normal though, you know, because for everybody it's something different.
Yeah, it is. Have you, like, ever avoided going out to, like, social events? Because for me, when I had my Miss U.S. World title, I had to do, like, a lot of events. And that was, like, fresh out of my trauma. And I would go to these events and people would be drinking and then there'd be that loud person. And I would... you know, put up this wall and become very, very to myself when I'm supposed to be out there talking to people and stuff, but I just became, you know, terrified. And I didn't know why. I chalked it up, you know, to like, maybe I'm just like, you know, antisocial. Maybe I'm very nervous around people, but it all had to do with like, I was feeling the emotions back from my trauma because this person reminded me of that person just because they were talking loud or drinking like what he used to do. And it's just, so many times I'd go to these events and something like that would happen. I'd be freaked out for the rest of the event and I wasn't able to enjoy it at all.
Well, the good news is, and I'm sorry I'm breaking in again, Marie. The good news is you get better at it. And
yeah,
the more you put yourself out there and the more you put yourself out there with a focus on why you're there instead of just being
yeah.
there, especially when you're walking through PTSD. And again, Marie, the name of the book that Maria and I have been working on forever, what's it called, Marie?
Walking Through the Healing, Becoming a New Creation.
That's right. It's called Walking in the Healing. Yes, it says
yeah.
all over the Bible that you are healed. But one of the things that I've learned, especially with this type of PTSD, is that you are walking in your healing forever because you never
yeah.
know what's going to come around the corner. And just like what you and Marie were saying, that you are on the lookout all the time for who's right and who's wrong. Imagine
mm-hmm.
doing that being married to a law enforcement officer, too. So not only does the PTSD kick in, but so does being married to a cop. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Totally can understand both of you there.
Yep.
Okay. So yeah. There isn't anybody, just like I and Marie, you know how many times have I said this to you, I really don't like people. And mm-hmm. it's a terrible symptom of PTSD, not liking too many people. And it's a guard that we put up. But both of you, being voices out there and in the front, this is one thing that you're going to learn to overcome, and you're going to learn to overcome it more because there are so many children that are walking through this and going through things that are going to cause them to walk through this in the future. And you know what? The more you two speak, the more lives you save. So thank you.
All right. And, you know, I think one thing for me, too, is, you know, I kind of wanted to isolate a lot. And one is because I seem way too much, you know, more than I should have, you know, and not just in my childhood, but, you know, in my early 20s and on up. And, you know, it's funny because I was talking to somebody and they were like, well, gosh, you can relate to everybody, you know, they can't just have their own, you know, thing because you can relate to it. And I'm like, you know, then I felt bad because I'm like, well, geez, I'm sorry. You know, I don't want to, you know, be able to relate to everybody, but it's just something that has happened in my life. And it does sometimes you feel like you're in a movie or something, or I do. Maybe you've experienced that yourself. You just,
yes,
because you feel like it's not real. You just feel like, you know, it does sound like a movie. Nobody would really believe
it. Does.
It, you know?
Yeah. And I've talked to a lot of people about this and they're like, wow, I can't believe that happened. So like with those reactions, it makes you feel like that even more.
Yep.
And like Maria said, you know, just for us to keep talking about it and to keep telling our truths, you know, will help other people. And, you know, regardless if somebody said, you know, you talk too much or, you know, that's just stupid or, you know, all the negative stuff I'm sure you've gotten, like I have, about trying to tell, you know, what has happened and the way it has affected your life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. My computer. So I just want to, like, this is, like, a really big thing to me, so I just want to get this out before I forget. When I would have a situation happen to me that would make the emotions of the trauma come back up, and, you know, I'd have the people around me, like, why are you upset? Like, why are you crying about this? Now that when I found out the reasoning behind it, my emotions were still just as strong, like if I got triggered or something. So when somebody has a situation that reminds them of their trauma and the way they react in that time when they're reacting as if it was their trauma, the intensity of that emotions are going to be just as strong if it was actually happening in their trauma. So if you're listening and you know somebody who has a complex PTSD and you notice that they're getting upset over something they shouldn't be getting, don't downplay it. Don't say you shouldn't be getting that upset by this, because they're showing how upsetting it was in their, you know, when they had their trauma happened, not at the moment of the situation of what's happening. And that has been like a huge thing that always made me feel worse about myself, was people would point out how obscure my reaction is. And it's like, I realize that. I know you don't need to point it out. Just be there for them.
Yeah, that's one thing that's always irritated me, is because they would say something along the lines of, that happened a long time ago, you shouldn't be acting like that now.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing you want to avoid. Because to them, it might have been a long time ago, but it can feel like it just happened. So,
and they're learning they're learning to walk through, you know, they're walking through their healing process. And you're right, they should never be told, you know, don't act like that. They're having to walk through it, act like that, so they can get through it.
Exactly. And I think that we're going to dedicate a show or two about how to help somebody who has complex PTSD. That way that person has a better support system, because a lot of people will be like, okay, well, I read about it, it's due to trauma, but they won't know how to react to somebody who's going through this. And that's really huge that you have your support team, or if you have somebody who has it, that you do your research and you try to figure out what's best for them when they're having a flashback or they're upset over a situation they shouldn't be upset by, because how you react is huge for the person with a complex PTSD. And it could either, like, I would say it could either make or break the situation at the time. I just know, like, when people are rude to me when I'm having a reaction, it makes it worse, and it makes my feelings almost validates them. So having somebody there, like, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. There comes a point in your walk, ladies, where you stop reacting as much as we used to, and we stop and we think about how we're going to act instead of react. It takes a while to get there. It's not something that's easy. It's something that you learn along the way. Some things you just walk away from.
Okay.
Yeah. But you get to a place in your healing where you stopped reacting, because that is our normal, to react. And this is what, when you start to mature in your walk with Christ, right? You become more and more Christ-like. How many times did he react? Not very often, did he? He acted.
Nope.
Okay? And that, what a great example. Even when the one time he got pissed off, if you really read the scripture, he took a long time to create the whip that he used. Okay, if you do the research on the type of whip that he put together, and it's detailed, lady. Why? Because we have to stop, and we have to learn to act instead of react, especially when you have CPTSD, especially.
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
But it's something you learn. It's something we go through every day. And it's worse when you're Italian, ladies.
Just saying. Oh, man. Hey, I actually just found out I have a small percentage of Italian, so.
Oh, God bless you.
I just found that out, like, about 2 days ago. My mom was doing some of the, what is that called? The
ancestry.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I found that out. So I was like, interesting. I've been meaning to tell you that, Maria, but I keep forgetting. But
now you know why. You talk a lot with your hands.
Yes. If you could see me right now, I think one of these times they're going to, like, videotape while we're doing the show, and you'll see how much I can use my hands when I'm talking.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we end the show, I just wanted to make a quick mention about something. So, with October just being around the corner, and we know how fast this year is moving so far, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and I am involved in something pretty excited about. As you know, that I'm Miss USA Transcontinental. Well, I'm also part of this thing called the Pledge Campaign, and in October we're going to be doing a show just based on that, so you can get to know more about the program and make your pledge. But I'll mention a little bit more about it next month when we do the show, but I just want you guys to have a notice to tune in for that, because it's going to be pretty cool. And Maria, you're part of the pledge too, right?
No, yes. We are all part of the pledge, but Marie actually knows
all.
A lot. So, Marie, why don't you share just a little snippet of what the pledge is and why it has been so important for you building up the ambassadors with the pledge?
Well, first of all, Sabrina Pinion, she's an amazing lady, and she is the one who founded the pledge campaign. And for me, in 2005, I was crowned Miss Georgia Ambassador for Domestic Violence. I was actually rescued out of domestic violence, and that's one reason it's so huge for me. And the fact that I went through domestic violence growing up as a child and didn't even realize it. yeah, it's just a really huge thing for me. And I've got to know a lot of the other ladies in the pageantry system that Sabrina has that have also gone through domestic violence and that are survivors. And the Pledge is one of my charities of choice.
Nice. Yeah, so we will go over that. So you'll be able to, like, tell a lot of stuff with it because you've been with it for a while.
Well, and then, like, in 2005 also, you know, I had created several videos. I did one for, I think, Maria. I don't remember if I did one for Susan Shangazar or not, but she's also, God rest her soul, miss her a lot. She also dedicated her life to raising awareness on domestic violence. And I also created a video as well to boot out domestic violence.
Well, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna. Do you have those videos still at all?
Yeah. They all should be on YouTube. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to do a video, but I think it'd be cool if we can, and you know, I'll do my video, and then we can get your videos, and we'll post it up to the CPTSD Facebook page. That way, you guys can kind of understand what's going on before the show, and then yeah, in October we'll dedicate a show to it to give out more information. And so with that being said, Marie, did you want to do our closing prayer?
Yes, I will. Lord, we thank you for letting us be able to have this show here today. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to use our voice to heighten awareness and promote education. And we thank you for our producer, Maria DiGiovanni. We thank you for all that you're doing in our life. And just helping us to grow stronger as we raise our voices to heighten awareness on domestic violence as well as complex post-traumatic stress disorder. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all you do. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Marie. All right, guys, we'll be back next month. We will post the day on our Facebook. And don't forget to check out our Facebook. If you have any questions, you can contact us, and we will all be back next month. Thank you, guys.
Hi, I'm Susan Shangazar. I am the advocate. Are you a healthcare professional facing burnout? Do you have a heart for the homeless? Have you ever been a victim of domestic violence or sexual abuse? You can learn from my experiences in my books, The Anointing of Mercy from the Heart of a Parish Nurse. Or I'll meet you at Winston Wall Street Journal. Journey to My Father's Palace, Destiny, Coincidence, you decide. You can find these books on Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or Zulon Press, or Google me.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Okay. Okay, are you there?
I am.
Okay, you there? Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Hi, Renee. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. How's your week been?
It's been good. Just getting some news about my sleepiness and how I may have narcolepsy and hyperinsomnia. But other than that, the sun's finally coming out and actually starting to feel like summer.
Oh, good. But you can rest whenever you want. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, right? That's true. Yeah, everything's still locked down in Washington.
Yeah, but when you're dealing with something like narcolepsy, you've got to look at the brighter side. Gee, this is something huge.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we will walk through this journey with you, too. Tell me, you have entered transcontinental pageants. Tell me why you did that, and where are you now in getting ready?
Well, I entered the transcontinental pageants because I felt like their pageant system, had meaning to it instead of just going on stage and who wore the best dress and who spoke better. It actually has a pledge with it, and doing pageants, that's like one of the hugest things for me, is the meaning behind it. So that's why I picked the transcontinental, also because their pledge is about domestic violence. And with my, past and my abuse, I hold that really close. And I like trying to get the word out on domestic violence.
That's good.
So the pageant got moved to next spring in 2021 because of COVID. Before that all happened, I was actually moving really fast and getting everything I need for the pageant done. So I had already gotten my evening gown or an option for my evening gown by next spring. It probably changed like 5 more times. I figured out what I want my, the country outfit to be, because like at the beginning you have your country costume where you walk on stage with a flag. So I figured out what I want to dress up as, and let's see where else. Oh, I think that's pretty much it. I think I've just gotten some of the wardrobe taken care of, and my next step though is to prepare my speech for my platform. And
that
has to be 3 minutes. Yeah, I just need a little bit more information on what I need to finalize it. But so
why
far,
did
so
you
good.
Get it? Why did you get involved in pageantry? And how old were you when you started?
Well, I was 15 years, I think I was 15 years old. I was taking modeling acting classes, and I was so painfully shy. I couldn't do sports because of an injury, so my parents thought, well, maybe getting her involved with this would be something she would enjoy. I totally enjoyed it, but I was just so incredibly shy that the lady at the talent agency said, why don't you enter a pageant? Here's this pageant coming up. It was just for Seattle. I had no clue what I was doing. But I had my mom helping me, and so I entered it, and I honestly don't remember a thing from it. I think I kind of might have blacked out from fear, and never did I think of pageants again until I think I was about 21 or 22. And my dad was at the mall, and he came home, and he's like, they have a sign-up sheet for Miss Washington USA pageant. Why don't you go do something like that? And I was like, why don't I? Because I used to watch the Miss USA, Miss America when I was a kid. And I don't know why I thought that was a good idea with me being, so shy and having no experience in pageants whatsoever. So I went ahead and got into that. And as terrified as I was, I really enjoyed being a part of something. And I really loved the whole dress up and makeup and hair thing. I think that's what kind of caught my eye first.
Oh my gosh. What do you want from pageantry? What is it that you want from it? What does it give you that fulfills that want?
Yeah. Well, before it used to be self-confidence and being less shy. Nowadays, it still gives you it still gives me self-confidence, but it's also such a great step for my platform and for having a voice. And I also like the networking I make with other women, because these women are incredibly talented, not just beautiful. So that's also something I seek, is those connections and friendships.
Wow, that's good. Now, if somebody was listening to you, what advice would you give them if they have never done a pageant?
My advice would be, it's not about what you look like or what you wear. It's about what you bring to the stage personality-wise. Like, don't be afraid to be yourself. Being yourself makes you unique and it makes you stand out. And they much rather have that instead of like somebody who's a cookie cutter and mimic somebody else's personality. So just be yourself all the way.